Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been breaking down Saints rookie minicamp. We'll get access to that tomorrow to help us talk more about the black and gold. We're going to welcome in now Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. How you been doing this rainy Friday, Matt?
I'm doing well, staying in mostly, but yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to being back in the Saints facility tomorrow. Yeah, it is the weekend, and we could be, you know, spending time doing something else. But it's a whole new regime here being brought in for the Saints. And a lot of exciting time to see, first off, just what's going to be different out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Saints have really – we were talking about this on our podcast the other day, and Luke brought it up, and it was a really great point, like – the Saints have really kind of practiced the same way for the last 20 years with Sean Payton, and then Dennis Allen had kind of a similar routine. We saw something a little different under Darren Rizzi, but, you know, this is a chance for Kellen Moore, you know, to lay out his foundation and, you know, have his staff go about the way he wants things to be done. So we'll see if things are a little different. It'll be interesting to see.
What has your impression of Kellen been? You know, obviously we all had our opinions that we developed over the course of like, oh, who's going to be the head coach? And you watch him go through the playoffs. We haven't talked to him that much. He's had a few availabilities, but you know, what has been kind of your read on how he's handled this process? You know, obviously you've spent the last couple of years dealing with Dennis Allen and Darren Rizzi, and now it is kind of that new era.
Well, did you use the word process intentionally there? Because that's one of the things that stands out about Kellen Moore is he loves that word. But you do get the sense that things are, you know, in all seriousness, actually going to be a process, that he has a very specific way. Or kind of, you know, I think he wants his players to be a little bit more versatile than maybe some of the other past staff here. And, you know, you do get the sense that he is a sharp football mind. Like, we haven't really asked him a lot of questions about kind of how he sees the game, but when we have, you know, he dives into some of that stuff. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he interacts with players, because so far the audience that we've gotten him with is really just, you know, kind of in front of the media. And he's a little bit buttoned up there, but it'll be interesting to see if he's more relaxed, more, you know, outgoing and engaging. You know, he's a very nice guy, but I think still a little bit more reserved in a media setting so far.
Looking at the Saints' first-round pick this year, Kelvin Banks Jr., taken 9th overall. Just curious your take on the big man from Texas, another addition to the Saints' offensive line, definitely needed, and just curious to where you think he might slot in. Is it going to be left tackle on this O-line?
Yeah, I would think it would be left tackle. You know, Kellen Moore said, even though he didn't say, you know, he kept it to the best five are going to play.
Right.
He did say that they look that they saw him as a tackle. That's where he played in college. I think tomorrow is going to be kind of a real tipping hand of where they see him, because if you remember last year in rookie minicamp, they had Talese Fuaga playing left tackle, and that's kind of what they stuck him with throughout the year. So unless the staff is dramatically different, I think the position we see Banks in tomorrow is going to be a strong indication of at least how they view him initially. But I do really like the pick. You know, talking to people, I talked to Kyle Flood, the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach at Texas. He said that, you know, Banks was kind of a cornerstone piece for them, and that, you know, he was the guy that really helped build their program. It was apparent right away that he was going to be their left tackle. So if he can replicate that type of success for the Saints, it's a home run. It's just, you know, how does this game translate to the next level?
Yeah, I think moving him to right tackle wouldn't make – to me, it's like if I'm going to switch positions, I want to do it now. I don't want to play one guy at right tackle, one guy at left tackle, and then get to the end of the season and be like, actually, let's flip that around. You guys are going to change spots. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, I kind of feel like you want to make that decision and stick to it and allow those guys to build. And that's true for Trevor Penning as well. You know, obviously this would be his – if he moves in and competes at guard, it would be his third position in 3 years. But I just think you don't benefit anything from – from being non-committal about where a guy's going to play. Where do you land on that in terms of just guys, you know, obviously there's some level of cross-training you want. You probably will want to get Kelvin Banks reps at guard, even if you are planning to play him at tackle. But I think you do want to be consistent with a young guy in terms of where he's going to play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's something Kellen Moore also said, is that, you know, they want to start off not overloading information with these guys. They want to keep it simple at the beginning so they get their feet about them. And I do think, you know, keeping them with one position. And then also the other thing, like, you switch it if it goes bad. You know, if you did in theory want to try him on right tackle, or you could tell that he's not playing tackle well in the NFL, like in training camp, then you try him at guard. Like, you let him try one thing first, and if that doesn't succeed, then you tinker about a little bit. It reminds me of Brandon Sheriff in Washington. He's, you know, they picked him in the top five in 2015. He ended up being a guard, but that first training camp, he was a tackle. Now, it did not go well for him in that camp. They moved him to guard, but then he turned out to be an all-pro guard for them. So, you know, I would try Banks first at tackle and see how he does, and if he can't hold up there, then, you know, maybe you talk about shifting him inside.
Yeah, I mean, Andres Pete's another good example of that. The Saints didn't draft Andres Pete at 13 overall to be a guard, but he ultimately was a very successful guard for them.
Right.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Looking at the quarterback position, that's been the biggest buzz with this black and gold bunch after the draft. Tyler Shuck, everybody started, you know, studying Louisville film and his time at Texas Tech and Oregon as well. Just curious what you've seen from the young man, and what were you looking forward to seeing just from him tomorrow at the rookie camp? I know I just want to see how the ball comes off his hands and basically what command of the offense we can at least get some little idea in tomorrow's practice. But this Saints QB situation is definitely a puzzling one because of the unknown status of Derek Carr.
It is, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you're really going to be able to tell this through rookie minicamp tomorrow, but I do think it's interesting is how does he command the offense? Because, you know, he played in three different types of schemes in college. You know, Oregon's offense was pretty different than Texas Tech, and Louisville, you know, was a pro-style offense, which I know the coaches here, you know, raved about in terms of, you know, they think he's ready for the next level because of that in part. And so, you know, I think he's a smart guy. He has a really big arm. Maybe we'll see that. I would caution, you know, don't read too much into rookie minicamp. Just if he lights the world on fire, that's
you know, that's a good sign, but it's not, oh my God, this guy needs to start over Derek Carr. You know, rookie minicamp is still rookie minicamp, but there are some things to read into it. It'll be interesting to see if the hype train grows at all, because, you know, among the Saints fan base anyway, that pick was kind of polarizing, but I know the Saints are excited to have him.
I don't know what you're talking about. Shedeur Sanders is already a star. I heard that after he walked out as one of the last players at rookie minicamp in Cleveland. Right. We can decide those things. I'm just kidding. But I fully intend to overreact as far as I'm concerned. You know, one of the things I've been trying to do, I always put out like a way too early roster projection right after rookie minicamp. And, you know, it's usually a little easier in the middle to figure it out. But I look at the defensive line position this year, and I have no idea where it's going to go, whether you're going to lean on some of the players who have been here. You know, you have a guy like Jonah Williams showing up, players that Brandon Staley has brought in, even like a Chris Rumpf, a guy he's familiar with. What's the level of commitment to some of the guys who have been here versus some of these new players? Are you going to be as committed to an Isaiah Foskey in the new regime as you were with the old regime? I don't know. To me personally, that seems like a really interesting position, and we'll only see one edge rusher out there, or at least one drafted edge rusher in Fadil Diggs. But where do you think that's get? Like, how do you feel about that position in general in terms of how it's going to develop in this new scheme?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I don't really understand what they were trying to do at defensive tackle this offseason. I get the trade for Godshaw. You know, you want your big nose tackle on your scheme. You get that. But then bringing back Shepard and Saunders, I think they're fine players, but I guess that was maybe more cap maneuvering too, because they both are going to cost you. You get them cheaper. Are a lower cap hit anyway this year by at least extending Shepard and restructuring Saunders. But I don't really get, like, the Vernon Broughton pick is still a little confusing. I'm going to be interested to see where he plays. Maybe he lines up more as a 3-4 defensive end for them rather than just like a defensive tackle. But then where does he play in nickel? Like, that is a position, you know, as you mentioned, Jeff, like that needs to shake itself out. And I'm not totally out on it. I'd be interested to hear more of the thought process on it.
Matthew, I know you guys do some extensive coverage of the Saints at NOLA.com. What can folks find on the website right now? What stories you got out that they need to be checking out as we head into rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I have a bit of a primer on this rookie minicamp this weekend. And, you know, if you're confused about the Derek Carr story and what's going on there, I have a pretty thorough timeline of, you know, when it all started and what's happened. And I encourage people to check that out if you have any questions about what's going on with Derek Carr.
Definitely, man. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at Saints Minicamp. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Matthew Paris, TimesPicayune, NOLA.com, joining us there, covers the Saints. Check out his work at NOLA.com.